filled with mayflies and beer. Oh, how I love October with the leaves and polished brass.
I'm Peter Spatafor on Association Impact, filling in for Cheryl Ronk on the Michigan Business Network. Today we're speaking with Velma Hart and Aaron Wallowick about diversity inclusion in the workplace. We're going to talk a little bit about the image of diversity inclusion for an association and why it's important that the association or nonprofit industry recognize diversity and inclusion. Velma, you were making a good point about how we serve an increasingly diverse membership, and it's important that our staff and speakers represent that membership. Can you touch a little bit more on that?
Oh, absolutely. Again, it's about making people feel welcome, comfortable, invited into a space so that they can contribute and inform your business strategy. But one of the things that I'd like to talk about in this context is a point that Aaron brought up in the previous segment about the unintended consequences. Yeah. Diversity is a very interesting notion, diversity and inclusion, that is. When we started working on this at ASAE, one of the things that we had to do was we had to secure buy-in. We had to make people appreciate the value of diversity and inclusion, not as a short-term strategy to solve a short-term need or a short-term feel-good, but as a business imperative. And so we created a business case that we had to peddle for a while to get people to embrace what it meant, what the true value, business proposition value of diversity would be. And so organizations who have truly embraced diversity today, I believe, are beyond the business imperative discussion. They get the business value. It's always about the implementation and what's best for their environment. So to understand your own environment, to understand your own needs, to understand your short and long-term goals, because there is a difference, I think informs the full embodiment of diversity and inclusion in any business strategy, and recognizing that some of the unintended consequences center themselves around how others outside of your community view your organization, and that can be very powerful.
You know, you talked a little bit about the diversity of the staff and the outward image. Is it important, do you think, in all sorts of diversity, whether it's race, ethnicity, diversity of thought, should our staff be more diverse and more leading in that charge of diversity and inclusion than the membership is? Do you think that's important, or will it come as the membership evolves? Aaron,
I think it comes as the membership. Yeah, I think it comes as the membership evolves. It worries me, and I think we get into some discussion about quota systems or percentages or other things that just cause concern to people if you're that directly attacking diversity. We need to have 3 or 25% of our people represent this community. I think that's a failed strategy. I think it evolves over time and is a byproduct. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm like shaking my head and like nodding and snapping my fingers as you're saying these things, because I think that, you know, in talking about sort of the intended and unintended consequences earlier, I would say the same is true as sort of the intended and unintended outcomes of staffing, that the measurement of a diverse staff, maybe outward facing, is something that you can count and measure. And I think that we as association professionals take a lot of heart and spirit and pride and joy, perhaps, in being able to measure data. It demonstrates beyond a shadow of a doubt, let's say, that we've achieved something, that we've accomplished an outcome. But it's just that, and it isn't necessarily getting to the root of the matter. It's kind of like that reminder that within association matters, but within all business challenges, that when we ask the question why perhaps 5 times, we get to the root cause. And the root cause in staffing is being able to, as you mentioned earlier, Velma, really recruiting from a diverse population or pool, both in terms of where we're posting job opportunities formally and where we're recruiting for positions formally, but also the informal places as well, the informal networks that we're going to, where diverse populations of folks who would represent our members well, where they are, either in current roles and positions or in job seeker roles and positions. And it's only when we really get to the root cause and are recruiting from that diverse strategy, which takes in this multimodal, multifaceted approach, are we really then successful, in my mind, even if the numbers maybe aren't demonstrating them in the short run. In the long run, if we keep that up, I think we will receive rich rewards over the long term.
Speaking of the rich rewards, we've touched a little bit on it, but do you believe having an intentional approach to diversity inclusion will help open up our membership to new or different markets of individuals within sort of the association's realm?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know we've kind of danced around this topic for a while now, Peter, but at the end of the day, our associations have to be their best selves. If they're going to maintain membership, if they're going to maintain purchases through programs, products, services that they're offering their industries, they have to show up and be their best selves. And in my mind, they can only show up and be their best selves because of all of the other competition out there, both on the internet, in terms of all of these smaller pop-up organizations. In order to compete with all of that and be their best selves, they need to bring everyone to the table, and they need to be a singular voice. And in my mind, they can only do that if they take this diversity and inclusion matter seriously and everyone shows up to the table.
Thank you very much. This is the Association Impact on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Peter Spadafore, in for Cheryl Ronk today.
And an old empty beer can buy a man a dime, a man a dime.